Hey, Barb. How's marriage like a hand grenade?
What a day to ask me that. I don't know.
Well, I thought you'd know. No. When you pull the ring off, you lose your house. She's not here. She's at a wedding shower. Snitches get stitches, Myrna. I think I could take you. I'm not sure. Oh, let's pray for Jeff. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your capable hands, and we ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 10:38-39, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Since the grace of God was fully revealed to man in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, men have been trying to use this grace to validate their life choices instead of changing them. We have cheapened grace by trying to use God's love for us not as a motive for our sanctification or holiness, but as a means of authorizing our own will. In short, we use God as a sort of genie to endorse what we desire by declaring that whatever we desire is somehow legitimatized by God's grace. Not only does he accept me as I am, he keeps me as I am because I like who I am. Jesus proclaims that if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow him, as Paul says, to crucify myself daily, then you're not worthy of him. We must lose our old lives to find the new life in Christ. It is a proportional change. The more you lose of you, the more you gain of him. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Now this sounds like some pretty heavy Zen stuff, you know, stuff that appears so deep that you really don't give it much thought, or even if you quote it, because it sounds like a really cool thing to say. Losing your life has two implications, both of which apply as part of the one part of the other. First, losing your life means physically dying, the end of this physical existence. And second, what we're talking about today is losing your life is associated with the death of your will for the sake of the will of God. It's not that you stop looking out for your own good. It's that your concept of what your good is changed to the kingdom of God. Being in Christ cost you nothing. He paid everything. However, being like Christ will cost you everything. Once you are in Christ, you will long to be like Christ. The Word, the Spirit, and time will teach you that holding on to your life is a fool's bargain that sacrifices the eternal on the altar of the temporal. It values your life in the flesh over the life in Christ. Brothers and sisters, you cannot have both. The conflict between the two is inherent. Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, and he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and your work. You cannot serve God and relationships. You cannot serve God, etc., etc. You cannot use the gospel to validate your will. The gospel is what we lose our will for, as we cannot have both. They are completely incompatible, my will and God's. Six chapters later, Matthew records Jesus saying the same thing again. That's how you know it's important. He says it twice. Matthew 16:24-27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." What he's saying is, that's the moment that matters. That's how you judge what has value. If you wish to follow Jesus, then you must deny yourself. We try so hard to find ways around this, cling to our will, the things we desire, the life we have built, the things we have accumulated. But you cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. The agenda you have chosen for your life cannot be augmented by the gospel. You cannot use your new life in Christ as a means of achieving your agenda. Your life must become conformed to the agenda of God. God is not a means to achieving your ends. You are a means to achieving his ends. You must deny your own and accept his. You must be conformed to his image. You cannot conform him to yours, no matter how hard you try. After you've denied yourself, you must take up your cross. You have to die to self. You must walk on towards Jerusalem without wavering, knowing that this is where you will lose your life. It is a journey, but you must know what the goal is at the end of the journey, losing my life for Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." You will bear the wrath of a world who your denial of self convicts. If you choose to give up your life, they won't like it because it's what they've built their life on. When you say, "I don't accept it," you're telling them that they have accepted something that is false. Don't expect them to applaud. You must be willing to give up all things so that others can gain the one true thing. You must crucify self. You must lose your life in the flesh so that you can find it in Christ, so that you can become the work and the will of the living God. Finally, we have to follow Jesus. Go where he goes, do what he does. You cannot do this until we deny ourselves and take up our cross. We must be the light. We must be the truth. We must show the way. We must be righteous as he is righteous. We must be the sons of God that we are called to be. We cannot do any of this while we cling to the life that we have built, the agendas we have embraced, the relationships we have invested in, the careers we have chosen, the teachings that tickle our ears and endorse our desires. Jesus tells us plainly the price for keeping your life in the flesh, forfeiture of your soul. The cost of temporal gain is always eternal loss. There's no profit in it. In the end, when all the numbers are tallied, you have everything or you have nothing. If you choose to lose your life in Christ, you get both here and there. If you choose to cling to your life, you get neither. For, it says, Jesus will return and repay every man according to his deeds, according to his denial of self, his carrying of his cross, and according to his following of Jesus, not his own will and his own life. The words of John the Baptist explain this with divine simplicity. From John 3:30, he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." The mantra for Christian life. Jesus must increase in my life, and there's no way for that to occur where I do not decrease. I must decrease. I must give up my will, my purpose, my agenda, my goals, my relationships, all for the sake of the one true eternal thing. And then when you give them up and you give them to him, he gives them back blessed. I'm not saying that what you value now is evil. I'm saying that it cannot drive your life. It must take its place in the back seat while you throw the keys of your life and your journey to Jesus Christ behind the wheel. If you put the kingdom of God first, he will give you the desires of your heart in the kingdom of men. So often we try to do this backwards. If I devote myself to the kingdom of men, God will see what a success I am and grant me his kingdom also. I get what I want first, then God is obligated to give me what I need from him. The truth will change out of my deep devotion to a lie. Each of the Gospels notes this account of losing and gaining life. Mark 8 tells us, whoever loses his life, Christ, and for the gospel's sake, he adds the gospel, will find it, because Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the good news. The gospel is worth more than any life you have built here. It is worth more than any financial gain, any social justice, any political power, any joy or happiness that this life affords, because it is the truth. In chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus said we must take up our cross daily. Each and every day when you wake up, pick it up and take it with you. Every day, nail your will to the cross and die to self. There are no off days when you take up your cross. In chapter 14 of Luke, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother and father, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life. See, we talk so much about the mother and father stuff, we forget the important thing that ends this. Because all those things are part of your own life. The thrust of this verse is hating your own life. He cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? We learned this lesson in the building committee. Calculate the cost first, then think about what you're going to build. Jesus engages in the dramatic to explain the demands of losing your life by including relationships. Love your neighbors, you love yourself in Christ, but in the flesh despise their flesh as you do your own. You cannot serve any relationship before your relationship with Christ. To be blunt, this is what it will cost you to find your life in Christ. Count it before you begin to build. Before you become the seed that is choked out by the thorns of this world. As Matthew 13:22 said, and the one whom the seed is sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. They lose their lives in Christ to their life in the flesh. A life choice is made that affects all of eternity. John 6:26, Jesus speaks to them about those who seek him for worldly reasons. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs. You saw the hand of God, and you saw that, you know, he was speaking to this generation. But because you ate loaves and were filled. Brothers and sisters, when the bread runs out, the self-denial stops, the cross is dropped, and then they follow another. John also makes note of Jesus' command to lose your life. And in that book, it tells us how we lose our lives. We are to lay them down for others. John 12:24-26. Truly, truly, I say to you, and listen to the context of this, because it applies in a whole lot of places. I use it a lot in funerals, but think of it as the funeral for losing your life. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Then he goes right into, he who loses his who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it in eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there are my servants, they will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. If your life has to fall, if you want your time here to have any meaning, you cannot serve yourself and the kingdom of God. You must lose your life to find his. We begin to lose our lives through experience. We see the pain and hurt that our will has brought about, or the good that it has not generated that we thought it would. And we begin to despise it, even hate our own flesh and its desires. We end up like Solomon, vanity of vanity, all was vanity, even my life. When you hate the one, you will be able to love the other. And hate is a strong word, and it is not by mistake that Jesus uses it. You must make a choice. You decide. You choose which you will serve. And in difference to my Calvinist brothers, this is a choice we all make, as John 15 tells us, that we lay down our lives. God does not rip it from us. Laying down your life denotes a choice, a thing you've chosen to do. John 15, 12 through 14, this is my commandment. Jesus speaking, personalizes it and says, there's a whole lot of commands, but when you think of me, think of this one. This one's mine, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. If you are my friends, if you do what I command you, well, you put those three verses together, there's something powerful there. Love as you have been loved by me. This is Jesus' personal order to his own. My commandment. Your love will be proven by your willingness to lay down your life for others, giving it so that they can get. Losing your life is not simply giving up on life. It's choosing to live life for others. You are laying down your life so that you can pick someone else up. It's a radical departure from the normal human path. For others to live in the Spirit, our flesh must die for them. Only love can make this happen. And you will get tired of living for yourself. You will get tired of seeking your own goals. Even when you achieve them, you'll find that there's nothing there, and you will end up hating what you've chosen to follow. Bryant McGill says, giving yourself is the ultimate revolution. Give that one some thought. Jesus commands us to love each other. And that love's greatest proof is laying down your life for a friend. You are being a friend to Jesus when you do what he commands you to do, when you lay down your life for another. When you lay down your life for someone else, you are being a friend to Jesus Christ. Decades later, John continues this message to the church. Maybe 50 years later, he writes in 1 John 3:16 through 17, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brothers in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him if he doesn't lay down his life for his brother? Losing your life, so you can find it, occurs when you lay it down for others. When you reach out to save them, you pull yourself out of the pit. John gives us a practical example. If you see a need that you can meet and you don't meet it, the love that lays down a life isn't in you. Start from there. How could it be? The moment you close your heart to another, you pick up the life you had laid down and say to Christ, I'm not your friend. Bryan Adams wrote, can you lay your life down so a stranger can live? Can you take what you need, but take less than you give? Could you close every day without glory and fame? Could you hold your head high when no one knows your name? That's how legends are made. At least that's what they say. Philippians 3, 7 through 8 says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ, because he's my friend. Those things I've accumulated, those things I've thought, those things that one time really meant something to me, I count them as lost. I tally it up. I figure it out. I weigh the balance. And I conclude, they're nothing. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Before you can pick up the treasure, you have to lay down the garbage you're holding on to, because there's not room for both. When you're tired of living with rubbish, you will seek the treasures that others are. And you gain Christ, and you make him your friend. And that friendship is life. Oswald Chambers wrote, it's much easier to die than to lay down your life day in and day out with a sense of the high calling of God. If I am a friend of Jesus, I must deliberately and carefully lay down my life for him. When we lay down our lives for others, we lay it down for Christ, and we prove that we are friends of the one who called us friend when he laid down his life for us. We lose our lives by choosing to lay it down for someone else. When we do this, we find our lives in Christ, a life whose success cannot be determined by circumstance or situation, luck or happenstance, but only by our love for God and for our neighbors. John 6, 66 through 69 says, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Come to know. Through time and experience, I've come to know that this is the truth. This is the answer I've always been looking for. This is the life that is worth giving up my life for. This interaction occurs after Jesus tells them that what he's offering them is not a better life here, not ease and temporal gain. He had just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He crossed the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd swooped around to find him. And he speaks to that crowd. Jesus tells his own that the crowds follow them. They don't want to give their lives to him. They want Jesus to help them keep their lives, to bless what they follow. This is not why he came. When he was done, only 12 remained. Only 12 desired to lose their lives for something greater. Because, brothers and sisters, grace is wonderful, grace is beautiful, but the road is long and the gate is narrow. Matthew 7:14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. Why? Because you have to lose your life to get there, and that is a very small gate and a very long road. And there are few who find it. Because you find what you're looking for. To find a life in Christ, you have to lose your own first. If your life has become a deep, dark hole with no meaning or no joy or no purpose, that's because there's no meaning or joy or purpose in what you've been clinging to. Lay it down. Give it up. Turn it over. Lose it in the grace and the love of God. He gave you his life first. Give him yours in return. And prove it by living for others as he lived for you and he died for you. Find your life and lose it before you die. Amen.